Hi, I'm Aisha, and I'm a former host of Mocha Single Mothers by Choice, or SMCs. Like you, as an SMC, I decided to become a mother knowing I'd be the sole care provider and parent of my children, at least at the outset. The Mocha stood for Black, so I'm using the word Black, and I'll be discussing being a single mother by choice from a Black woman's lens. You'll connect with all the interesting and fun things about this non-traditional path, like discussing which sperm to use and some hard truths about fertility and the realities of dating as a single mother who doesn't have a co-parent to rely on occasionally,
and what it's actually like to parent as an SMC.
This is the Black Single Mothers by Choice podcast.
First, I didn't start out wanting to. I thought I would be pretty much one and done once I had my first child. But when my daughter was about 4 months old, I knew that I wanted a second child. I had just fallen so much in love, and she was such a cuddly little easygoing baby. And so at that point, I bought more vials of my donor sperm, and then I planned on weaning in anticipation of starting for my second after my daughter's first birthday. So I knew that I would start weaning at 6 months because it gives the body enough time to recover and hormones rebalance in preparation for another pregnancy. And so my desire for a second child only grew as my daughter grew. And I became her chief playmate. And in my head, I knew that, yeah, I can't do this forever. And so I knew I was not just built to be a sole playmate for a child. Like when I envisioned motherhood, I envisioned reading the storybooks, playing with the dolls when the baby was bigger. But I still didn't feel that our family was complete. And so I knew that I was ready to dive right back in. I'm really big on planning and having real honest heart-to-heart conversations with myself. And so when I was considering having a second baby, I actually had to sit down and see if I could afford two in daycare, right? Because that's a big chunk of the reality. Once the baby is here, you're going to have to be able to cover all of your other expenses on top of daycare. And daycare is pretty expensive in my part of the country. And so I had that heart to heart. I looked at my budget. I looked to see what I could move around. I had intentionally, when I moved to the area, I had intentionally stayed flexible in my living situation. So my first apartment was roughly like $2,500, $2,600 a month. And then I made a second move when I started trying initially for the second baby. And that had dropped my monthly rent to about $1,800. And then once I got deep into the process of trying, I had to make another move that dropped my rent to $1,600. So for me, it was a balancing act to free up funds in order to be able to continue trying and also to make the realities of daycare for two a possibility. So for me, finances was really a deciding factor. Because I was traveling to try for my second to a different state for a fertility clinic, I had to rely on my entire village to make sure that my big girl got picked up for daycare, that I had backup arrangements in case I could not make it back in time. So anyone who knows my story, you know what I'm about to get into. And I am going to get up until a certain point and then pause the conversation because we will straddle into my daughter's story. So when I tried for my first and I delivered at 38 and I had no problem, it was easy peasy. But for my second pregnancy, I also assumed that it was going to be easy peasy. I was 39 at the time. I was healthy. I had good egg reserves. Anytime a fertility doctor saw those numbers, they were like, oh yeah, great. This should be a walk in the park. I tried my first IUI. It did not take. I tried my second IUI. It did not take. And then it began to spiral out once I started adding additional intervention. What I didn't know at the time was that I was experiencing secondary infertility, which could happen for a variety of reasons, but I was in the cascade waterfall of a secondary infertility. And so I say all that because I want to put out a PSA, because you will hear a lot of stars and a lot of people make the misassumption that, yeah, you can get pregnant into your 40s, mid 40s, even 50s. And while those unicorns do exist, and I chuckle because there are quite a few unicorns in our Black SMC community, but it is fairly rare for a woman to get pregnant after 42, 43 using her own eggs without a lot of hardship. And I had reached the point where I had experienced hardship using my own eggs and at the time my own embryos. And so I made the decision to stop the pain and the hurt, and I moved to donor egg. And it was easy for me to move to donor egg for my second pregnancy because I had already known women who had done it. And I had seen that this is doable. This is a part of life. It doesn't really impact anything from the point of, I got this little tiny pinprick piece of DNA combined with another pinprick piece of DNA and popped it into the uterus. And so for me, that was the answer for being able to continue on with my family building. I think it helps to know someone who has done this and lived to tell the story. And past having that embryo transferred, I never thought about it again, but I knew that if we were going to do this podcast series and use this as a platform to tell true and honest stories, that I would be remiss if I didn't tell that part of my story. So in my house, I would say we just started getting into jealousy, and it's a comment here or it's a comment there. So it's not an ongoing recurrent thing that we deal with. But my oldest daughter has said a few times, like, why does the baby get so much attention? So it is usually jealousy cast onto the baby. And I have to just keep explaining to her that I can't reason with the baby. Like she doesn't understand, whereas my six-year-old does. But what I've started doing to balance the equation is pointing out the big and the fun things that my big girl can do that the baby can't. And so since we're in this whole pandemic schooling situation and I have my big girl home with me on Fridays, what I do is we do donut Fridays, right? And so she gets to randomly pick donuts from the donut shop and she gets to have her donut. She gets to have her special time with mom. I do more snuggles at night and just hugging and snuggling on her and carrying her sometimes so that she feels the baby. And yeah, so that's how I handle that. But by and large, we don't have a whole lot of the major jealousy issues that some people might experience. Keeping in perspective where they are developmentally, it's traumatic every morning. Every morning it is trying to get the kids up. So one of the things we do our bathing at night. And so mornings are just like really scaled back, wash your face, brush your teeth, get dressed. That takes us probably an hour and a half. Like before normal, when I was single, my entire morning was like roll out of bed, get dressed quickly. But now I have a full day's worth of emotions and energy expended before I even start my workday. So we pretty much, I get the baby up and ready. We snuggle, she eats, she drinks, diaper change, brush teeth, and all of that. But to get out of the house on time, it is an orchestrated dance routine, trying to get out the house without tears. So the only reason I get out of the house on time, there are two things that motivate me to get out of the house and get the troops on the go. One is that I don't want to have to feed my baby a real meal. I will give her pieces of cheese, a piece of toast just to settle her tummy for the car ride. But a full-on breakfast routine, I don't want to do that Monday through Friday. And then also, I have to send her to school with a clean diaper. And I know approximately when she poops. And if we stay home too long, she's going to poop that new diaper. So I'm like, I don't want to change that. So I make sure that we get out the house before her time to poop so that daycare can change the diaper. So this pandemic is both a blessing and a curse, right? I will say that because of the timing of the pandemic and where the baby is developmentally, I haven't yet had to fight the restaurants and taking the unruly 18-month-old to a restaurant. And I'm hoping that we miss that hellish travel phase where I know if we were not in a pandemic, I would have wanted to take a vacation. And then I would have had to deal with what happens when your 18-month-old wants to run up and down the airplane. So hopefully I get to avoid all of that. And she gets to the point of reason before we take our first plane vacation. 1 to 2 was definitely the harder transition for me. And I think because of the age, at the time that I was trying and pregnant, my big girl was 4 and 5. So you get used to sleeping, you get used to them being able to feed themselves, go to the bathroom. So when I went from 1 to 2, what almost immediately expanded exponentially was the amount of stuff that comes with a new baby and the amount of stuff that was then in the house. And then laundry. Like right now, I'm sitting here looking at a beeline of probably 2 loads of laundry that are washed but need to be folded. And at some point, you just run out of space because they just require so much stuff and so much clothes. And who needs pajamas and all the little socks? That was the pain points of my transition. So definitely from 1 to 2 was harder. Okay, so I really wanted to say something that would add value. So I would say, pray for a short journey, but save for a long one. And then in those savings, put aside an extra stash of money for a Hail Mary pass, just in case you get to the end of the line and you're just like, I'm just going to throw everything and the kitchen sink at this. This is my last try. It's my last gasp of breath. And so save for that particular rainy and stormy day. For me, it was considering donor eggs. And so I had to make sure that donor egg was still in reach for me. I didn't have to have all of the money, but I needed it to be in reach. I needed to be like 75% there.
Well, Pod, thank you so much for taking the time to listen. If you like what you heard, please share this podcast with your girlfriends. And I'd love to hear your thoughts about the topics covered in this episode. So email me at mochasmc@gmail.com. And if you found value in the topics covered, consider making a donation using the link in the show notes below. Till next time, Pod. Bye now.